With everything happening right now, a lot of us have had to take things one day at a time. But as the weeks roll on, some are beginning to ask the question, what is Michigan's recovery going to look like? With us now is Michigan House Representative Sarah Anthony, a Democrat from Lansing. She's the rep for House District 68, and she's been working on one program recently passed into law that could be an important stepping stone in the rebuilding of Michigan's economy. Sarah Anthony, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
First off, how are you and your family doing right now?
We are doing well. My family is healthy, thank goodness. We've had a lot of individuals around our community that have passed away due to COVID-19, and it's really impacting especially our faith community here in the mid-Michigan area, but our family is doing well. They're safe and they're staying home. So we're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear about folks you know, and we're thinking about you for sure. This is a time when I imagine you're in a position to hear a lot of voices from the community right now in a very unique and direct way as people are reacting to what's going on. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been hearing from constituents about the kind of fears or hopes that people have?
Absolutely. I think the two big groups that I've been hearing from every single day are business owners who are trying to figure out, you know, how to stay afloat during the pandemic. And we've received just hundreds of calls from individuals who are filing for unemployment, some for the very first time. And they are frustrated with the system. They are nervous about their ability to pay rent and feed their families. And so individuals are very stressed. There is, you know, folks in the community who have limited access to the internet and don't have the resources to actually navigate many of our state systems. And so I think that the pandemic is really showing us many of the cracks in our existing system. But the overwhelming thing that I hear from individuals is just fear of uncertainty. What is the next day, the next week, the next month going to look like for individuals who are ultimately just trying to survive?
To that end, before the pandemic struck Michigan, which now feels like about 100,000 years ago, you worked with two other reps, Ben Frederick and Ken Horn, on something called the Reconnect Program. And it was designed to help out workers who were perhaps not right out of high school, but still at a fairly early stage of life, who've become disconnected with the workforce. What was it that you wanted to do for them?
Yeah, I mean, so my background is I spent 10 years at an organization called the Michigan College Access Network. It was an organization that helped essentially close our gap in post-secondary degrees and credentials in Michigan. And so this has really been my life's work. And I was really honored to work with two Republicans in the House and the Senate to make this bill a reality. You know, the governor in her 2019 and 2020 State of the State addresses talked about the Reconnect program as a way to fill the almost 80,000, you know, unfilled skilled trade jobs. And really just, again, make sure that our workers are prepared for, you know, what's next in the economy, and to obviously just address the needs of the workforce in Michigan, because there's a huge gap.
Can you explain how Reconnect works?
Basically, it is a pathway to a meaningful career for what I like to call folks who are maybe disconnected. Maybe they didn't right out of high school decide to go off to a 2 or 4 year program in one of our community colleges or 4 year institutions. So Reconnect is designed for individuals who are 25 years or older, who have their high school diploma or an equivalency and haven't already earned an associate's or a bachelor's degree. And so this program will be designed for Michigan residents who, again, you know, fill out their FAFSA form, their financial aid forms, and they apply for a Pell-eligible program at one of our eligible institutions. So, you know, again, I think this will be, you know, when the governor and you know, us as legislators started to dream up this program, we never thought that this would be something that we would be discussing in the context of, a recession. But right. when you look at our record numbers of unemployment rates right now, many people have reached out to me and said, you know, I've got the time right now. I'm sitting home, I'm filing for unemployment, or I'm receiving assistance. And when this is over, I want a different career. I want to, you know, gain a skill or a trade or have a, you know, additional credential or piece of paper that's going to be valuable after the pandemic so that I can be in a better position to provide for my family. So I think this is providing an opportunity for folks to really look at what skills do they need in a post-COVID workforce.
So what is the short-term impact of COVID-19 on the law? Is it still going to go forward as planned?
So there's good news and there's bad news. So the good news is that, you know, the bill has been signed into law. So on April 4th, the governor in her home signed it into law and then took a selfie and sent it to me. So we're excited about that. The policy is in place. But unfortunately, and also rightfully so, the money that was earmarked to fund the program has been repurposed to address our most immediate coronavirus related needs. So this is, you know, emergency resources as related to the, you know, for healthcare needs and, you know, to really make sure that we're addressing things related to the pandemic. So while the money for the program has been repurposed, this is where, you know, individuals like myself, our allies on the Republican side will need to start looking at what does the budget look like for this year in terms of our state budget, but also having some strategic conversations at the federal level. I know that, you know, our senators and even the Trump administration is going to be looking at how can we recover and what does recovery look like? And I think that retraining workers to be in a better position will be a significant part of the recovery.
We do know that during recessions, people do tend to go back to college. And it certainly looks like Michigan and the country need to be at absolute minimum prepared for a possibility of a recession. Do you think that I had a question about Michigan's universities. Many of them have announced layoffs or hiring freezes of one kind or another. Do you think that the higher education system can be stabilized fast enough that this might still be workable?
For decades, you know, the government has been disinvesting in higher education. You know, we have seen drastic cuts. We have not kept up with pace. And so that financial burden has fallen on students and their families. And folks just haven't been able to afford getting a degree and credential. So I think that, you know, higher education is, you know, institutions are making really tough decisions because they have the, you know, responsibility of educating and providing top-notch training. And at the same time, the investment at the state level has not kept up. It hasn't kept to pace. And so I do think that there will be folks who say, I need to go get another degree or certification. And because of the expedited timeline for many of the eligible reconnect programs, I think that this will be a very attractive program for individuals who, again, fall in that 25 years or older, you know, demographic will really want to take advantage of. Because, you know, again, I think there has been a skills gap before the pandemic, and I think that this will just illuminate it even further.
At the same time, one of the financial pillars of the higher education system is federal aid. A great many students rely on something, whether it's Pell Grants or other kinds of tools to just get the money to cover tuition. What do you know about the state of federal financial aid right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know that conversations are ongoing. And, you know, for those of us who have been in this work for a long time, I mean, we, you know, have been laser focused on protecting things like Pell, increasing the amount of student financial aid to make higher education a reality for, you know, students, particularly low income students, students who were first in their family to go to college. I mean, that is the demographic that I come from, right? You know, my parents mm-hmm. and grandparents never went to college, but they told me that the pathway from poverty to prosperity would be linked to my ability to obtain a degree or credential. And I know that that degree that I received from Central Michigan University was my ticket to a better life. And as we see at the state and federal level, disinvestments in higher education, it's just making it more of a private good. So something that only the wealthy can receive, as opposed to a public good in which, you know, students of all income levels and races and regardless of their zip code should be able to obtain, again, that ticket into a prosperity, a life of prosperity, or at the very least, just the middle class. So I am concerned about, you know, disinvestments at both the federal and the state level, but that's the work that we're doing, is working to make sure that it's protected.
Sarah Anthony is a Democrat representing House District 68. Sarah, thank you so much for your time and for all your work in the legislature.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.